In the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus says to you, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. The apostles had just returned from the sowing of the Word of God, preaching and teaching the Word of God, and it was exhausting. And so Jesus sees their weariness and their tiredness, and he bids them come and rest. He calls them to, strangely, a desolate place, but in time they will see that in desolate places the Lord does his best work. That is where hills have wooden beams hammered into them. Their respite, however, with their rabbi likely was not that long, if it happened at all. For we know that the crowds were there before the apostles, and they were constantly seeking Jesus. And Jesus being Jesus, he will not turn anyone away. He has compassion on all of them. For these crowds, they are in a desolate place, but not one of cacti and sand and deserts so much, but rather one buffeted by a barren and bitter and hard and broken heart. And why is that? As Jesus says, they are sheep without a shepherd. You hear that phrase and immediately your mind goes back to the language of Jeremiah as he recorded the Lord's words. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, as he will do to them what they have done to his sheep. For the very shepherds that the Lord had called to lead his people to those green pastures and those quiet waters were rather watching their sheep spiritually die or feed off them. And so the anger of God is kindled most hotly in this regard. For there's nothing more tragic and more damning in God's sight when his sheep do not have the green pastures of his holy word and a table of his body and blood in the midst of all of their enemies. Or a shepherd who properly uses his rod to discipline and his staff to comfort. The Lord will always reserve the harshest discipline for those who should know better. That is why we have the proverb, with great power comes great responsibility, and has stood the test of time. And so the fulfillment of our Lord's words in the days of Jeremiah, I will gather the remnant of my flock, is now seen here in Mark chapter 6 as Jesus goes to work to feed the people. And so he has come to have compassion upon sheep that are without a shepherd. Despite all the unbelief that he has encountered in his ministry, despite his desire to withdraw from public activity and be alone with his disciples and refreshed with his heavenly Father, he still is moved with compassion and does what he needs to do. And so he begins to teach them, it tells us. No doubt he began to teach them the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms and how all of this spoke regarding him as the fulfillment of those words. For to the eyes of Jesus, he saw far more than just simply a mass of humanity, a bunch of cells or bodies, but he saw the end of a people without a shepherd. And he could not bear it. And so he came, obviously, to rescue all of them, for that is why he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. And they were lost. And so it is with all sheep. To all sheep that are without a shepherd, to sheep that have wandered, to sheep who struggle in being sheep, he is their great and good shepherd. Now, as the night was soon approaching, the apostles were getting very fidgety, as you can well imagine, taking care of all the needs of these people when they had no money and no food to give them. And then Jesus says in that moment, well, will you give them something to eat, emphasizing their apostolic office with them? And you can imagine that they immediately wonder how this is all going to happen. Now, Jesus is not being cruel here or being unfair here, but he's leading them to a, a particular point, to rely solely upon Him and not themselves. To remember that when you are in a desolate place, when the night is long, when everything seems hopeless, He who neither slumbers nor sleeps, as the psalmist says, will feed you and take care of you. He is the life of the world, and He is present to feed it. So we say in the psalmody today, in the intro, you open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. And so it comes to pass today. Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven, to His Father, and He said a blessing, and He broke the bread, and He gave the bread and the fish to His disciples to give to the people. And when you read that and you hear that, you cannot miss that is divine service language. That is what is happening in this place, in this sanctuary, in this church. Think about it. By His word, God's word, Jesus takes bread and He consecrates it to be His very flesh. And He takes, and by His word, He takes wine, and by that word, He consecrates it to be His very blood shed for the forgiveness of all people's sins. And then He gives it to the pastors, and the pastors give it to you and say, "Take, eat, this is My body given for you. Take, drink, this is My blood shed for you." That Jesus feeds you and I, He shows Himself to be the true bread of life, by which our body and our souls are completely refreshed and nourished and at rest. I often wonder, as the apostles and the crowds had their own desolate places, what desolate places you find yourselves in. I know my own, and there are no shortages of them in this world. Places of isolation, places of strife, places of struggle, places of loneliness. And perhaps you're there because Jesus has led you there, not to punish you, but to discipline you and to refine your faith and to draw you closer to your Heavenly Father. Now, it could be that you are there because, like the crowds, others have sinned against you. And you are sheep that have been abandoned by and neglected by the church and her shepherds. And perhaps you're there in those desolate places because of your own sin. You have wandered off, enticed by the evil one to think that there are greener pastures elsewhere, only to find out that on the other side of the fence there is manure as well. Or maybe it's a little bit of all of that. But regardless of how you or I have gotten to our desolate places, what Jesus wants you to know is this: that desolate places are difficult places and that He does His best work in them. But due to our natural aversion and cultural aversion, I think that we often believe that we shouldn't ever be in such places. Ever. So the thought is that if Jesus really loved us, then He would not lead us there or let whatever that is happen. Think for a moment, Job. Or on the other hand, if you really love Jesus, then these things would not have happened and you would not have wandered off. In that case, think Job's friends. And with such thoughts, when we think those things, our desolate places become incredibly ripe for Satan to drive that final wedge between us and our loving God. I think it's important to remember that not all pleasure is good and not all suffering is bad. For the psalmist will say, Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." So Jesus, the bread of life, is not valued or rightly seen by those whose hearts are set on the honors and the accolades of this world and when everything is going right. Rather, it is cherished and loved by those who seek Christ in a desolate place, who seek Christ on the cross. The one who feeds the world with life and hope in that most wonderfully yet desolate place. And so, one of the nuggets of wisdom I learned when I was at the Psalm conference in Nebraska was this. Only in the crucifixion of Jesus, Psalm 22, can you and I see the beauty of Psalm 23, which is the appointed psalm for today. Think about it this way. Because the shepherd lacked everything, because he had no place to lay his head in this world, because there was no place for him at the inn, because he hungered in the wilderness and was led there by the Spirit and was tempted by the devil, because of that, therefore, we can say that we lack nothing. That his righteousness has atoned for our sin and our guilt. And because of Christ's sufferings and death, we can now say something that is even more amazing and a language that you know quite well. Yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff to comfort me. We all know that we will all die unless our Lord comes again before that. That we will have to pass through death. But notice what the psalmist in Psalm 23 calls death. A shadow. For the Christian, death is not this blanket covering that ends all life. It's not a final curtain never to be pulled back again, and it's certainly not a casket that will never be opened again. And why is this? Because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. And this rod and this staff in the early church was seen by the early fathers as that of the cross of Jesus Christ. That the rod and staff together was the blessed cross of Jesus Christ. So thinking about this, in our desolate places, in our little shadows of death in this life, the cross is alone our comfort and our peace. After all, this is why the hymnist will tell us to hold thou thy cross before thy closing eyes. Why? Because only trusting in the crucified one will we be pointed to those heavenly skies. So amid our desolate places, whether of your own doing or the doing of others, or that Jesus has led you there to refine your faith, you must know that Jesus has planted his cross in the middle of all of it to do his greatest work among you, to turn those desolate places into those green pastures and those quiet waters. So do not underestimate that God feeds you in this place and that he shows you his true character as the bread of life for a dying and desolate world. For though all the world will forsake you and leave you or turn against you, God in Christ Jesus never will. He will never let that happen. After all, he says to you, what? Come away with me and rest a while in a desolate place. And so you do. As the church of God, as the people of God in this place, are at rest both now and forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.